boys and girls, moms and dads, children of all ages, the ship's at sea and the ship's heading to the rocks. I'm not sure which one I'm on at the moment. Hopefully I'm heading out through the channel to the wide open seas. I think that's where I'm going. Heck, how would I know? Anyway, Fish and Frank in the chair here. Get special. There's no one in the chair across from me, but in the special guest star seat, yes, indeedy, it is Captain Brian Ball. I got to tell you, this is pretty cool stuff. So let's dispense with that. We'll just do a little crowd induction. They love you, buddy. Our studio audience. I mean, just stand up, wave a little bit. You know, oh, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. They just love you. I got to tell you. All right. Anyway, we're here in our magnificent studios in downtown Charlotte Harbor, Florida. And Captain Brian, you have been on the water. When was the last time you weren't on the water?
It's been a while, Frank. It's been a long haul ever since. I don't know.
I can't remember when you're. The only time I see you, I'm getting ready to go for bait. I got to go tomorrow. I'm getting jigs. I got to go tomorrow.
Yep.
We were just talking about butterfly jigs, and that's interesting because you don't hear a lot of people really who have experience with them. Now, you're taking customers out and actually getting them to catch fish with the butterfly jigs.
Correct, yeah. A butterfly jig is a very effective tool, helping you fish many different levels of the water column. It's not, you know, something that you have to drop to the bottom and fish right on the bottom or drop to the bottom and rip it all the way back up. You can use your electronics to kind of see, you know.
I was going
to
say, how do you tell what depth are... Because you go out there and you say, okay, I'm fishing in the middle, I can fish at the top, I can fish in the bottom. How would you tell?
My, you know, obviously when you pull up to structure, you know, offshore, we're talking 60 plus foot, really, before I start using butterfly jigs. I haven't had a lot of success, and I honestly haven't really used them any shallower than that.
But I'm with you. I know so many people have tried them in, and like Mary's Power Pole, and they just don't seem to be effective.
Right. It's definitely a super effective bait on, you know, your amberjack. If you're on, you know, a big pile of red snapper, caught some red snapper on them, gag grouper, you know, it seems like whenever the season's closed on those stinking things, you can catch them on anything. And then when the season opens, it's like, where'd they go? But it's pretty cool. Before we got on the air here, I was talking to Frank. I had a customer the other day that had a really great idea. I thought it's not going to help Frank's sales at all, but
it's fine with me, Brian. Go ahead.
It's taken Goodwill or whatever.
Salvation Army.
Yeah, Salvation.
Goodwill is a for-profit organization. Salvation Army is the only charity that is, in my opinion, worthy of me giving money to. I mean, for as far as that type of charities, because
gotcha.
The director of the whole thing makes like $30,000 a year. The Red Cross and
right.
Goodwill and all them, they have tires on their planes worth more than that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
To me, I just, if you're going to buy them from someplace inexpensive, go where your money does good. Go to the Salvation Army.
Absolutely. What we're talking about is butter knives, basically. Old kitchen butter knives. And taking,
garage sales.
Yeah, taking the handle part of a butter knife and just center drilling it at the end. And then, obviously, you'd have to come up with split rings and
whatever.
But
you would
whatever.
Drill a hole at the tip of the butter knife and a hole in the handle. And then put split rings on both ends. Now, a split ring is the same as you use for your keys. You know, it's a ring and that splits open in the middle. Same as a key ring.
Right.
But a smaller version. You'd have to put one at the top to put your line to, and then one on the bottom to put a hook on with.
Right. Yeah, I know you carry them here in the store. I've seen them. Replacement hooks for the butterfly jigs. Like Williamson sells replacement hooks, and they all come kind of tethered and pre-rigged, with some sort of nylon.
Yeah, it's
not
got
monofilm.
A little string with a loop on it.
Right.
It's
and honestly, you could get away with just doing one hole, you know, at the handle and then put your split ring and the hook right there at it and probably...
I forget, we're not talking old-fashioned diamond jigs.
Right.
You can tell the generational gap right here. We have a millennial over there and a millennial over here. I mean, old fart versus cool young guy. Okay, you drill a hole in the handle, and so the knife blade is the bottom bouncing part on the butter knife.
Correct.
I don't know why I couldn't get that through my head. It's so obvious and so excellent point. You just drill one hole in the handle.
Yep. Yeah, your handle would be the heavy part, obviously.
And I wonder if you just couldn't use a snap swivel, a bigger snap swivel on the top to
probably could
put your hook and attach it on. It might be easier than trying to fit a split ring on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just use one of those bigger snap swivels and clip it on and clip the hook to put the butter knife and the hook right on the snap swivel and close it up. Is that something that would be possible?
I believe so. It's pretty comical. The same guy that was telling me about this on the way offshore also watched me lose about four in a row to Barracuda on a wreck. Oh. So he goes, man, that wouldn't have been so painful, would it, if that would have been 50 cent butter knife? Instead, I think I was in the hole about $50. But is what it is, and they're an effective tool and just kind of something that you and I were talking about.
Well, as a radio fishing co-host, I will tell you this. I'm going to go on your behalf to Williamson and see what I can do.
All right. I'll accept that.
I believe Williamson makes some of the best butterfly jigs in the business. B, I'm friends with everybody there.
Right.
So I owe you a favor, so I will see if I can't reciprocate that favor. I always believe life has to be a two-way street.
Right on.
I will see what kind of magic numbers we can find for you on some bulk Williamson. Because you're one of the few captains that can actually teach somebody. And this is kind of the critical part, boys and girls, is taking somebody who's never used a butterfly jig and getting them to catch fish with it. That's tough. That's double tough.
Yeah, it is. You know, a butterfly jig is a high-energy bait. You're not going to hand it to somebody that's lackadaisical and say, hey, drop this down and just, you know, jig it. It's not like, you know, taking a bucktail and putting squid on it to catch a red grouper. It's, you know, you're dropping this thing down and telling someone, hey, reel this in as fast as you possibly can. And when you get to, you know, 20 feet, open the bail and drop it back down, do it all over again. It's tiring, but it's effective, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, are you using braided line or monofilament?
On the jigging stuff, all braided line.
Okay.
But I use, like, 15 foot of fluorocarbon leader.
No, it had nothing to do with it. You were talking about getting up to a certain level and then stopping. I've got some bigger soft beads that you might be able to put, like, say, on the end of the leader or something like that, that would actually almost stop it so they didn't reel the jig up into the tip of the rod.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that move many times.
That would stop. As soon as I hit the clear line, it would kind of give it a good pause. But I think the hole would be big enough where if you had a fish on, they could kind of almost reel through it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I never thought about that. I can't tell you how many rod tips I have at the house that no longer have ceramic in it because of that very reason.
We can put them on with metal tips. It costs you probably $3 a piece.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, and then we don't have to worry about the ceramics anymore. You just go to this solid ring insert.
Yep.
It's not going to hurt anything.
No, not at all. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of...
It cost you $3 a piece for me to replace your rod tips.
With a lot of the
rods... You might have to spend $4 or $5 if I'm... Yeah, but I'll see if I can't get it done for $3.
Right. A lot of the rod tips, you know, with the metal ring, you know, or the metal guide itself...
Right.
With the braided line that we fish now, it doesn't even matter if it has ceramic in it or not. As long as there's not a chip piece of the ceramic in there.
It's the chip ceramic that cuts everything up.
Right.
Especially if you're using the Berkley, like the Invisibraid or stuff, it's so soft. It doesn't matter what you put it on. It's not going to hurt anything.
Yep.
If you get into some of the Power Pros, I can see over time where that would wear on something. But you really, like I say, you're talking $3 to $5 to replace the tip. So if you had to replace them once a year, if you were using Power Pro where it saw through it a little bit.
Right.
But even Power Pro isn't that rough. And that's one of the roughest lines on the market.
Right. Yeah. That's mostly what I'm fishing, you know, the 80 to 100 pound stuff and that dark green Power Pro. You can just put a lot of pressure on it.
If you go to, if you decide you want to put these metal tips on, we'll do one of them with some Berkley or with the new 832 from Suffix and see how that works. It's softer and smoother. It has zero chance of hurting anything.
Cool.
When one of them goes bad, we'll work it out, but I'll take care of you on it. The Berkley and the Suffix are the softer ones, and that 832 is amazing. I was really, really impressed with that line. So, one of the things is these companies work with me. They like dealing with independents,
right.
And while the Power Pro is a good line, it is rough, no lying or doubting about it, but they really concentrate their market on the big chain stores.
Right.
whereas Suffolk is huge behind the Independents. Berkeley's big behind the Independents. Yeah. So
what is that? That blue camo line that's made by Berkeley that I was using this year for tarpon fishing. Stuff's phenomenal.
Yeah.
65
now,
pounds.
Now, he did find out something with that. On the very light ones, that white and blue camo, he changed the formula and he almost got fired. He thought he was going to save the company, you know, a couple of quarter cents per yard.
Yeah, he told me about this. It had less strands in it or something.
Oh, yeah. He really messed up. He almost lost his job over the whole thing because the guy in charge of that division is, I mean, super behind the Independents. I mean, I know him. We're first name basis. I would say close acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we talk to each other enough during the year to call us friends, but very close acquaintances. And he was shocked. He wants premium gear, good pricing, and that was impressive. If you would have saw what hit the look at his, I was standing there when the boss found out about this.
Oops.
That's impressive to me when the boss gets crazy mad because somebody's trying to save them money
right
at the expense of their customers.
Yeah.
So
that's a
you're
great,
that way
great
in your boat
though.
I'm gonna even just shoot that right back at you. You're that way in your boat. You come in, you're looking for you. The thing I like about dealing with you is you're never looking for the big deal.
Right.
You're what my customers need, what's going to give them a good trip, and all that. It's why I'm more willing to deal with you. You never ask for one.
Right.
I always feel like I want to give you one because you never ask.
The way I look at it, Frank, is you can control, you know, certain things and what we do out there, and there's certain things you can't control. And one of them is, you know, equipment and your boat and your attitude and all that. So why not, you know, put all that stuff in your favor? And
well, absolutely. By the way, if you're wondering, I didn't say much, but this is Captain Brian Ball. He is a charter boat captain. You can hire him to go inshore and fish the snook, redfish, and stuff. And that he has another boat where you can go out deep water gulf fishing. And so you can go inside or outside. One phone call stopping, you know, depends on what you want to do. I would highly recommend if you have not been to Florida. I was telling somebody the other day, and I don't mean to mention other captains while you're on the show, but I said, you know, if you would go out with Carl from the inside and then go with Mike for around in the near Gulf,
mm-hmm.
because the object is to fish in two different boats, two different places, because you don't want to be in the same style boat all the time. Well, they can call you and take you one day inside and then one day outside.
Right, we do a lot of that.
And that
people trying to just do exactly what you said, just, you know, experience it all or just see different. Or someone, you know, that's coming down for a week and they want to eat fish while they're here, I always talk, hey, let's go offshore because
that's the dinner.
Yeah, I mean, if you're wanting meat, that's the place to go. Not that you can't, you know, get that done inside, but
you can, but it's not the same.
Right.
And there is a very little in the world as good as when you get out there and get in some nice grunts, not too big, not too small. And it's some of the best eating in the world. And you get a nice grouper or something like that, and you know, and you have so many other fish, all the snappers and all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know my dad, so I grew up eating the grunts. It's that's if you go fishing my dad, you better know where the grunts are.
Yeah, I mean it's hilarious. We'll go offshore, and you know, vermilion snapper are very plentiful. I mean, you could make a, you know, a sabiki rig basically and catch them six at a time,
right,
in certain spots. In my opinion, I would rather eat those little things over any grouper that has ever come off the bottom floor.
Grouper have a much better press agent.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, I mean, they're on the stage with the DNC, you
right,
know, they've got the big press group going on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these other fish, that people don't talk about them because they're not as big, and obviously they're not the big fight.
Right, no, not at all.
Oh, man,
you
tasty.
You want to eat something.
Oh, yeah.
Those things start biting. I'm like, let's drop the hook and catch 100 of them real quick.
Yeah. I need a couple of these for me and the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, catch me another 10. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, I know exactly how you feel. I used to do the same thing. So, obviously, business is very good. I never get to see you unless you're in the store here. I am going to ask you more of something on a more personal nature. How's the wife and the kids?
They're great, actually. They left this afternoon to go up to my little niece's birthday party up in Tampa, so on Bachelor Pad tonight. Of course, my mother found out and caught wind of that, so now I'm taking her to dinner tonight. So my bachelor pad did not last very long.
You had dreams of sitting in front of the TV and feet up.
I could picture a nice ice-cold Corona, maybe swim in the pool in peace, and now I'm taking my mom to dinner. But
not that you don't love your mom. We all know you do.
That's right.
Isn't it funny how they don't, I don't want you to feel alone, and you're like, God, I'd like to feel alone for one night.
That's right.
And I can honestly say I don't think I know anyone who is more into their kids than you are.
I love my boys, but, that's for sure.
You know, hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
So, this is just... But if there's one woman out there, one woman anywhere that can tell me she doesn't dream of the same thing, I'll buy him all dinner.
Yep, that's a fact.
Okay, so... Inside, anything going on inside in the
harbor? Yeah, this time of year we have a pile of mango snapper starting to push in all our grass edges, any kind of structure, near shore stuff as well too is loaded up with them, but been doing really good inside with that. Our bait compared to the spring has made a miraculous comeback, which is awesome to see. I don't really know where it was or what happened, but maybe bad water, I'm not sure, but it's here in full force, and there's tons of Spanish mackerel and mango snapper just piling up on it.
It seems like the snappers are almost into a spawn mode or something right now.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. All the way, I used to go to the Keys before I had kids and got married, and I would be there like this time. And
I was trying to save you a minute ago here, buddy, but there's starting to be a pattern in this.
That's right.
But come on, Trump, talk yourself out of this one.
Right, exactly. Even, all the way down through the Keys and stuff, same thing's going on. These mangrove snapper are spawning, and they're just plentiful, man. And in my opinion, what I said earlier with the vermilions are being awesome, mangrove snapper, one of my favorite to eat, too.
I'm probably the only person on the planet that would rather have 11, 12 inch, maybe 13 inch snappers than the 14, 16s.
No, I agree.
Everybody is just crazy about those big 16, plus inch snappers,
Yeah.
Well, they do fight. And I mean, they're amazing, especially in a light tackle. They've got a lot of fun. It's like a smallmouth bass. I mean, they're just really rugged fish.
They're cool, man. They can be super aggressive, and they can be one of the smartest fish in the world. Especially
they didn't put that black mask across their eyes because they weren't good thieves.
Yeah,
that black mask that goes across their eyes, that say they are thieves. They're going to steal everything.
That's very true. It never ceases to amaze me. Those days when you're struggling and you're offshore and finally get them chummed up to the surface, and you're like, oh, we're going to kick their butt, and you catch one, and all of a sudden, poof, they're gone, or they get real, wise, and you'll see them swim right up to every single bait that you're throwing out for chum and eat it, no problem. But the one that has a hook, they just go up and kind of like look at it and then swim off. It's so annoying. But they are a delicious fish to eat, and a lot of fun to catch.
I've known you since you were pretty young, and I got to tell you, this is just absolutely, I can picture you. I'm seeing you on the boat at that moment.
Yep, it's frustrating for sure.
So, how is right now, you seeing much of the mahi-mahi out there? We're getting real sporadic reports, but
you're not
consistent sporadic reports.
You're not going to like this either. In the last 2 weeks, I would say I've seen them on like 75% of the trips. Ask me how many of them that we've caught.
Go ahead.
Zero.
Really?
I swear to God. The only success that we had was trolling, and that was like 3 weeks ago when we managed to lose all of those fish. They're small. They're not super big. They're just little schoolies from what I've been seeing.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're going to get here. We're not going to get the big bulls and the cows and all that, but the schoolies, they're such fast growing, but they don't seem to hang out here past... they get up maybe 24, maybe 30 inches, and they're gone.
I've seen them in shallow, and the last 2 weeks I've seen them in shallow, 70 foot. Same thing, red grouper fishing, drifting or anchored, and they come up to the boat, and it's exciting. You're like, oh, God, mahi, and start chumming and throwing stuff in the water, and they're just not like the ones in the Atlantic. I'm speechless. I have no answer for it. I don't know why they don't bite.
When you get back to your boat, look on the bottom. Did someone put one of those you know, like a mouth on the bottom with teeth and a big red line through it.
It's not a problem keeping them around the boat. It's keeping them on the line.
But, I mean, did somebody put a sign on this, beware, master angler?
Something, man. I don't know what it is. You know, you find a little chicken dolphin like that, you know, down in the Keys or over in the Bahamas and stuff, and it's, you know, as well as anybody, it's catch as many as you want. Leave one in the water, and they just sit there and take it. These ones out here.
I get a little couple jigs. Little couple tiny, almost like crappie sized jigs.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do for the tarpon in the canals is we use these little tiny little fishy jigs.
Right.
And we use the snapper hook. And what's funny is it's a lean snapper hook. It's mega popular all through the Keys. Everybody uses them, entirely illegal because it's not a circle hook.
You're talking about the barrel jig, like the yellowtail jig?
Yeah, the yellowtail jig. Mm-hmm. I've got those. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just find it funny because as soon as you put a piece of bait on it, it's illegal.
Right.
But everyone in the Keys does it. I mean, thousands of people using it.
I saw somewhere that they actually are now making those in a circle hook.
They might be. I don't know yet. But I've got them in the J-hook.
I've always thought exactly what you're saying. Like, oh, I've if you got use that bait, little, you're supposed to have a circle.
Yeah, that little fishy tail. I'm going to go out and get you. I'll show it to you.
Okay.
Because I think if you put that on a rod with that little tiny hook on it, it's heavy. You can throw it. We use them on tarpon all the time in the canals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a crappie jig.
I'll try it.
I will bet those mahi-mahi will eat that thing. And I don't know why, but as soon as you're describing it, and everything you're describing sounds to me exactly what I ran into in the Keys, I finally ended up back catching fish by going down to the 06 Rapalas, trolling them.
Really?
I mean, the little X-Rap 6s, the tiny ones.
Yep.
I was trolling them, and that's how I got my Blackfin, my Bonita. We caught a few mahi on them, but they wouldn't hit anything bigger than that.
Huh.
It was the little tiny lures, and I put them out behind the boat, and I've got these little itty-bitty lures on there, 600-800 feet of water. If anybody would have seen that, they would have literally thought I lost my mind, and nobody could figure out how I was catching the fish.
That's awesome.
But I was matching the glass minnows.
Yep, exactly. Match the hatch.
Yeah, it was just that simple. But that's why I think that little fishy, because it's heavy enough to cast.
Yeah.
Where the 06 Rapala is so light, you know, even the X-Rap, which is still decent castable, still hard to throw, but with that little lead head on, I think we can make them throwable for you.
Okay.
And we'll try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you never know what's going to go on this show.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I know we should stay on topic, but, you know, I guess it is topic.
Yeah, we're talking fishing.
Okay.
It's a fishing show.
Anyway, if I'm going to have Brian's icon here. It will take you right to his website. Just click on that. Is there, right now, if you were going to pick the one thing you think is really cool to do in the Gulf, what would it be to go out there in the Gulf? What would be the one dream fish? If you were going to take some customers, ladies, you got people on the boat, and you want to show them something really cool, what would it be?
Dream fish. I mean, we have a lot of flying fish in super shallow right now, which is kind of strange for this area.
Oh, absolutely.
And when I say a lot, like from 70 foot on, I mean abundance of big, you know, foot long flying fish, which is, you know, typical in the Keys and whatnot, but up this way usually you don't see that until you hit, you know, 130 plus, which tells me, you know, there's some pelagics and stuff moving around out there. We caught a beautiful wahoo a couple weeks ago, trolling in. Red snapper season was still open. We were trolling in actually from about 170 and caught that. That was a nice surprise. But to get somebody on the boat and say, hey, we're gonna go catch,
but
a
that would be the dream catch.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it doesn't get much better eating than that.
You know, if somebody's gonna hire you and take you out there, on your way back in, you're gonna designate what, 45 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes, just to see if you can't get that dream fish?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with kids and whatnot, trolling, you can always, you know, get around structure and troll up kudas. That's a blast. That never gets old, and they're usually pretty predictable. But
and I don't see how you can go wrong. You're reeling in these monster fish with huge teeth.
Yep. Yeah, they're cool.
They're just too cool for words.
Yeah, they're awesome. They make great bait, too. Mr. Goliath Grouper, you know, on a lot of the public numbers and springs and stuff out there, they're loaded up. So That's always a good good closing, you know.
You could do a little bit of trolling, just whack some amazing fish, because they quite often jump.
Oh, yeah.
You can get them to skyrocket and do everything that people dream of when they're out in the Gulf seeing it.
Yep.
And then drop a piece down and catch a 400 to 600-pound fish with it.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. Anyway, the Captain Brian Ball in the guest chair today. And anything else we need to go over today?
Not really. I don't think. I think we pretty much covered it. The snook fishing's been really good on the falling tide, and right now we have a flood tide coming in, you know, till about midday. Snook fishing's been really good. A lot of fish, you know, in the 20 to 25 inch range. Have caught a few big ones here. Most of that's on the outgoing.
It's still early to really, because all the big fish are out there, but I don't really count on seeing much of those till around September, maybe October.
September, October, my favorite months to fish this area.
Yeah, that's when you're going to find the big snook. The tarpon will be back thick. We go into our fall big fish season. Like I said, I don't know where these big snook go at this time of year, where they're hiding, but they seem to, sometime in September by October, they're just lots of big snook, lots of big tarpon. I mean, it's just playground.
Yep, exactly. Looking forward to it. Water temperature cools down a little bit.
It just rocks. Awesome. Great. Best time of year to be in Florida.
I agree.
So, all right. Anyway, we are going to, that's it. And the crowd loves it when I stop. They really like it when I'm over. I mean, they don't have to listen to me anymore. So, they're applauding because I actually had Brian on the show today. Brian Ball, yes, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And the producer says that's about it for Radio Fishing in this edition. And thanks again, Brian. Click the little icon right next to the show, and it'll take you to Brian's website. You can hire him for inside or outside. And once again, Fishing Frank here in the chair, Captain Brian Ball. Say goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, thanks.